Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to know what's on your mind today. If you'd like to talk about it, well, we'd like to discuss it with you. The phone lines are open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. We invite you to call right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, call now. Because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Happy Friday to you.
And
it's been
to you,
a great week as we've talked about our reconciliation with Jesus Christ. That's been the subject. It's all about drawing near.
Yes.
So many people want to be close to God. They want to figure out how to draw near to God. How can they maintain that closeness? Well, all of that is built into the gospel message itself. So God has done all of the work, tearing down all the barriers that stood in our way so that we can draw near to God in faith. But once we draw near to God in faith, then he sends his Spirit to take up residence in us, and closeness is ours from that moment forward.
Yeah.
We're always going to be close to the Lord. Why? Because he's always close to us. I mean, you can't get much closer than living in you.
Yeah.
So if you're going through trials and tribulations, guess who's going through those trials and tribulations with you? Jesus Christ himself by his Spirit. So you are never alone in this world. You never have to do anything to try to get closer, to work through all the religious barriers, to try to get into that holy sanctum. No, you are there already because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Well, here's a great passage in Romans chapter 5 that talks about that. Starts in verse 10 and 11. And Paul writes this, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." So God takes the initiative through Jesus Christ. He does something on our behalf. He removed the sin barrier once and for all. And he did that while we were still enemies. So if that's the case, how much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? So the reconciling work of Christ through his shed blood on the cross is the very act of grace that draws us near. That's grace drawing us, grace wooing us, grace pulling us into this story. And then when we receive Jesus Christ, we're saved by his life. And that's when the closeness becomes our reality. So the reconciliation, the reconciling work of Jesus Christ is the cleansing agent. It's the removal of sin, and being saved by his life is the closeness. So that's what enables us to be close to God once and for all. And then in verse 11, he says, "More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." What does that mean? God has torn down all the obstacles. He has removed the barriers. He has taken sin out of the equation once and for all. And as a result, we have access to God. When we receive by faith, then we can rejoice because now we have drawn near and now we are in God's presence, and God's presence is in us. Closeness is ours.
Closeness is ours. That's a great message, Bob. Thanks for sharing those thoughts. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. If you have a question about a Bible passage, if you have some issue going on in life that you'd like to discuss and get some spiritual guidance on, well, this is a good opportunity to call directly into the studio right now and speak with Bob Christopher and me. We'd love to hear from you again at 844-322-2742. Want to remind you, friends, of course, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported broadcast, and we need your ongoing support to keep the message of God's unconditional love and grace on the air so that people can hear, live, and live in the grace of God every day. And we would love for you to partner with us, and you can do that by going online to basicgospel.net and click that big, broad donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Come on, friends, partner with us, and let's keep the good news going. Bob?
Yes, indeed. And note on that, you know, summer is a low time for most ministries. People are on vacation. They're doing lots of things. School is just started for many, so money is being directed towards school supplies and all of those sort of things. Right. And that leaves ministries like ours sometimes in a summer doldrum. So help us, lift us up above that summer doldrum by making a gift today in support of the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. My goodness, in this crazy world that we're living in right now, people need some truth. People need some assurance. People need to know that there's hope, and that hope is contained in the good news of Jesus Christ. So help deliver hope, help deliver encouragement, help deliver good news to people who desperately want to hear it, especially during these trying times, by making a gift to Basic Gospel this month.
And again, you can do that at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob Demetrius sent me a direct Facebook message, and he has a question, and I really like this question, and it's something that we really need to spend a little bit of time on, because it's something that we're all asking, whether or not we're consciously asking this, or if it's just something kind of in the back of our minds, just constantly brewing back there, and we're trying to figure out an answer. And it's this: what is sin consciousness, and how can we get free from it? So, Demetrius, thank you so much for sending this question. It is really a humdinger as far as questions go. And so what is sin consciousness? Well, sin consciousness is when we go through life trying to stop sin in our lives. I did this for a number of years when I got into high school, when I got into college. Like anybody at that particular age, you're just bombarded with all kinds of temptations, sexual temptations, worldly temptations, just whatever you can imagine, it's coming at you, and it's coming at you quick. Your body is changing. You're trying to figure out what life is like. You're not sure how to control all these new desires and all of that. So you, when you give in, when you start submitting to the desires of the flesh or the worldly temptations, you begin to feel guilty. You begin to feel distant from God, and you're trying to figure out a way how to change all that. Mm-hmm. So you become sin conscious. You're trying to keep from sinning. So you your prayers are all about, Lord, help me stop sin X or sin Y or sin Z. Help me stop doing that. And or you make promises, Lord, I'm not going to do this tomorrow. And that's your prayer. And you wake up the next morning and say, Lord, I'm not going to commit this sin like I did yesterday and the day before that. I promise I'm going to do my best. And then at the end of the day, you're back on your knees praying, Lord, forgive me for doing that sin again. So that's what sin consciousness is. You're just constantly thinking about the sins you've committed. You're constantly thinking about the fact that you ought to be punished for those sins, that something bad is going to happen, and you're constantly thinking of ways to try to abate that, try to keep God's punishment from coming. So that's what sin consciousness is. Well, how do you get free of it? Well, you have to become Christ conscious. And how do you do that? Well, it's in receiving, first and foremost, the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you're lost, dead, in trespasses and sins, the solution for you is to be made alive together with Christ. Yeah. Now that you're alive, made alive together with Christ, recognize the truth that you're dead to sin and alive to God. So if you're dead to sin, why do you want to spend a lot of time thinking about it?
Right.
If you're alive to Christ, that's where our focus should be, this new life that we have in Jesus. So God dealt with our sins once and for all 2,000 years ago. Jesus shed his blood. He took away our sins. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. So that old man is dead. We have died to sin. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. We're alive to God. So that's where our focus should be as believers, the fact that we're alive to God, the fact that we have new life, and we should be thinking about how to experience this new life to the full. Mm-hmm. That's called walking in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. So that's kind of a byproduct. So we're not thinking about the desires of the flesh. We're not thinking about how to control them. We're not thinking about any of that stuff. We're just thinking about how to walk in the Spirit. The cross of Jesus Christ frees us to do that. And as a result, we're not going to be giving in to the desires of the flesh. So to go from sin consciousness to Christ consciousness, it's just going to take really looking at the cross of Jesus Christ and recognizing the fact that he took away your sin once and for all, that he remembers your sins no more. He judged them once. He found them to be guilty. He punished them in Jesus and freed you to enjoy a new life in him. So if you're sin conscious, look at the cross and recognize what he has accomplished. And as you do, you'll see the Spirit of God refocusing your eyes from sin to Jesus.
You're right. That was a great question. Dimitri, hope that's a help to you and hope you're listening today. And if you have further questions, of course, get back in contact with us. Friends, you can contact us right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And, Bob, this question came in through the voicemail system. Let's listen.
Yes, my name is Deborah, and the question I have is there a difference between water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Thank you very much.
Well, Deborah, great question. And the answer to that is, yes, there is a difference between those two. So spiritual baptism is what takes place the moment that we believe, the moment that we are made new in Jesus Christ. So this gospel message hits our hearts. We hear the story. We hear the message concerning Christ, the fact that he died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, the fact that he died, and the fact that on the third day he was raised back to life in accordance with Scriptures. So we hear that good news, and that then we respond to that grace through faith, and we're saved. Now, that salvation, the Spirit of God, is an integral part of what takes place. So he washes us through new birth and then regenerates us. So that's all kind of spirit stuff that is happening by the Spirit of God. He is the agent bringing that new birth about. And in that, he takes us out of Adam. The Spirit of God takes us out of Adam and he places us, that's baptism, yeah. He places us, he immerses us into Christ Jesus. So he takes us out of darkness, that's where we once were, and he places us into the light. So that's what spiritual baptism is all about. So when we are placed into Christ, we become a member of the body of Christ. And then God's Spirit comes to take up residence in us. So that's the work of the Spirit in salvation. So he's setting us apart. He is placing us into Jesus. So that happens for every single believer at the moment of salvation. There is some theology out there or some people that teach you receive Jesus one day and then receive the Spirit another day. Well, God is one. When you receive Jesus, you receive the entirety of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see throughout the New Testament, for example, in 1 John chapter 4, that when we believe Jesus, then God comes to abide in us. So we have God the Father. We see in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have Christ living in us, according to that passage. And then, for example, Galatians, 4:7, where God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us, and by his Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. So when we receive Jesus, we receive the entirety of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So it's an impossibility to receive Jesus on one occasion and then much later receive the Spirit. Yeah. No, when you receive Christ, you receive the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. The Spirit of God places you into Christ, baptizes you into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So his story has now become your story. So that's spiritual baptism. Well, we celebrate that in what the church has called one of the two sacraments or ordinances, and that is through water baptism. We, as individuals, get to share with the body that we're involved with. We get to share our joy with them and say, hey, I was once lost, dead in trespasses and sins. I was once in Adam, but now because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of the grace that he has poured out on me, I am now in Christ, and I am a member of the body of Christ. I now belong to Christ, and I belong to you. So we celebrate that through the picture of water baptism, the fact that we have been placed by the Spirit into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's not a part of the gospel equation. You don't have to be baptized into water to be saved, but it sure is a lot of fun to celebrate that salvation with other members of the body of Christ. So is there a difference? Absolutely. The baptism that matters is the spiritual baptism. That's the one that's going to last forever. Even Jesus said himself, and John the Baptist did as well, that John came to baptize with water. Jesus has come to baptize with the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the baptism that matters. That's the baptism that is all about the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus.
Good to hear from you, Deborah. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, again, we have time on the clock and open lines at 844-322-2742. If you'd like to speak with us, Bob Christopher's here. My name is Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us. Again, that phone number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. A little hope for everyone is one of our viewers on YouTube and has this question: what is your take on the corona shot? Get it or don't get it? And we've had a couple of questions come in on this particular topic, and I think that's a decision for each person to make on their own. You know, we have a lot of pressure on us coming from all different sides to either get it or don't get it.
Yeah.
In this country, there's a freedom that's been given to us, not by our Constitution, not by the Declaration of Independence, but a freedom that comes from God.
Yes.
That we've recognized in the Constitution. That's kind of the framework for our freedom, for our country, and how we handle it. And then this becomes a subject that we need to run through that filter. So there are going to be some people who kind of look at it and say, well, wait a minute, it's not totally tested. It hasn't gone through the normal processes. We're just not sure. And so I'm a little skeptical, and I'm not going to get it as of yet. There are others who are scared to death that they might get coronavirus, and so they are quick to get it. And then and that's their right, and that's their freedom.
Yeah.
And so they go and get the shot. Well, we just need to leave it right there. That's where we need to leave it. We have become so judgmental. We've got the vaxxers and the unvaxxed, and we're causing a division. We see this even in families. We see it in churches. We see it everywhere. And as believers in Christ, we need to stand up, I think, against that division and recognize the freedoms. And if somebody wants to get it, praise God. If somebody is still thinking through it and is not sure that they want to and has decided I'm not at this point, praise God for that as well. So we know the vaccine seems to have curbed the spread a little bit, but let's give people some space. Let's recognize the freedom that we have in this country, and then let's act accordingly.
That's a great answer, Bob. Thank you for that. And it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And, Bob, we had this call also that came in through the voicemail system.
Hi, my name is Anissa, and this is a question I have that I've always wondered about. I've always wondered what happens when a person passes away. I mean, as soon as their spirit or soul leaves their body, where do they go? The people that are going to heaven, do they automatically, instantly go to heaven, or are they waiting for judgment day? And the ones who are not going to heaven, do they just straight away go with Satan or get cast down, you know, in with the devil? This is something that I've always wanted to know. Thank you.
Well, that's a wonderful question. What does happen to us when we die? And the good news for a believer is this: when we die, when we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. So what happens to us? We go to be with Jesus. So when my dad passed away, the moment he took his last breath a number of years ago, it was a sudden event. He immediately went into the presence of the Lord. So he's enjoying the Lord's presence right now. So that's the good news for those who are in Christ. Those who are not in Christ, then they're going to go to a holding place, and they're going to await that final judgment when they're called up from the grave, and they're going to be judged for every deed. And what's going to ultimately be the judgment is you refuse to receive life, the life that was made available to you in Christ. And then at that point, they will experience what is called the second death, which is eternal judgment, yeah, eternal separation from God. That's not a place anybody wants to be. But as far as we are concerned, when we die as believers in Christ, we are immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord. Yeah. What state are we in? The Bible doesn't really give us a clear answer on that. Maybe there's some intermediate bodily state that we experience. Certainly at the Transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured, Moses and Elijah were there, and Peter and James and John recognized them, so saw them in some type of bodily form. So maybe that's the case. The Word of God really doesn't answer that. All it does say is that when we take our last breath, we are absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Yes, indeed. And that is a great thing to know for sure. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're just about out of time for this edition. I want to remind you that we have a wonderful daily devotional that you can sign up for. It's absolutely free. We'd love for you to have it, and all you need to do is go to basicgospel.net, scroll to the bottom of the page, and you'll find the sign-up form right there. We hope you'll take advantage of that. And, well, once again, we want to remind you that it's because of you that we're here every day bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need your help now, as always, to ensure that this message remains on the air and online. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Also, the listener line is open around the clock for those of you who can't call during the live broadcast. If you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life in general, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and we'll be sure to discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Also, you're invited to join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live on either Facebook or YouTube every Sunday morning at 9:30 Central. To make it easy to join Bob, well, you'll find links for both of the platforms, Facebook and YouTube, at the top of the homepage, basicgospel.net. That's Sunday Morning Live online, 9:30 Central with Bob Christopher. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for Basic Gospel and wishing you a blessed weekend in and because of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.